أما بعد، إخوة وأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are through the book of Siyaq. We are supposed to teach the book of Hajj. But for the fact that most of us are not going to perform Hajj, it is not compulsory on us to know the ruling of Hajj for now. So it is only compulsory on the one who wants to perform Hajj to know how to perform Hajj. So it is better that we move to something else that will be more beneficial to all of us. And that's why if we look at the book, the next kitab that you have is kitab al-Buyut. Okay. We are finishing the Zakat. Yes, I know we jumped to Zakat, but I did not know the exact place where we stopped. But before we start, let us think.
Salat al-Khawf.
I think we stopped there. We stopped here. So I was contemplating maybe we take Salat al-Janayiz or to take Al-Biruri, but Janayiz, we are much familiar with Janayiz. I'm not saying that we know everything, but Janayiz, this is something that people are more familiar with. But I would still prefer that we take the book of Al-Biruri and then we go back to Janayiz. I was trying to look at it this morning, which one, I know we dropped some topics, but what is the preponderant is that I know we don't take from Janayiz, but I way between the two, I said, okay, let us take the road. So, though it is not a bit lengthy, but if we finish it, inshallah, we'll go back to Janayiz. Now, Kitab al-Buyu, as we can see, the author arranged the kutub, that is the topics and the chapters. He arranged them in such a way that it looks like that of the fuqaha. The fuqaha, when they arrange their topics, you see the way they arrange their topics. So this book is a book containing ahadith of ahkam, ahadith pertaining to the rulings of some things, not ahadith containing aqidah and things like that. So the author has written this book in order to deal with ahkam. So, and he has brought ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which address some of these issues in order for it to be easier for us to memorize. Take for instance when the books of fiqh, at times when they are saying some things, they do not bring the evidence. But the author has brought evidences that address the positions of the fuqaha. If the faqih says so and so, what is the evidence that has address this? So this is the reason why he has offered this book. So that's why it is known as the book addressing or containing ahadith of ahkam. Take for instance, if we can recollect maybe some few years back, those who attended the Hakam this year took a book called Adura al-Bahiyya, written by Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala. In this book, he will not bring the evidence for what he has said. He will only establish position. So this is a way of training the young ones. Let them know the ruling. It is not necessary to know the evidence establishing the ruling. But for them to just practice, for them to carry out something that is right, so it is not okay to do so and so, it is compulsory to do so and so. What is the evidence that makes it compulsory? The author might not believe it. So this is a way of teaching people. Then, one will graduate to the level of what? Knowing the evidence for what an author has said. Then there's another stage, that is the stage of now comparing different opinions. Okay, this one has said so and so based on this evidence. This one has said so and so based on this evidence. So scholars will write their books following this pattern. That is, this one has said so and so, this one has said so and so, this is the evidence of this, this is the evidence of this. So this will make the book voluminous. So these are stages of learning. So the one who has not gone through the first stage, it will not be easy for him if he wants to start with the second stage, or the one who has not mastered the second stage, it will not be easy for him to go to the third stage like that. So that's why all these books written, scholars have written them for reasons. Not that this one doesn't decide to write this way, doesn't decide to write this way. They are based on. So the author here, all he's doing is just to bring a hadith addressing particular topics. So the fuqaha, some of them have rested their position on this particular evidence. This may have rested if on a particular evidence. Now, Kitab al-Buyur, the book of al-Buyur. Al-Buyur is a plural of Bari. Bari, in the Arabic language, as the linguists have said, is something that has connection with al-Ba'ru. Al-Ba'ru means the arm. Huh? Al-Ba'ru means the arm. So, al-Buyur, they say this is what? Is an act which involves this person stretching out his own arm and this one also stretching out his own arm. So both of them will now agree on something. This one will give to this one will take from this. So that's why it is called al-biru in the Arabic language. So which we can translate as buying and selling. Buying and selling. Now the author starts with Babu Shurutihi wa man nuhiya anhu minhu. The conditions of al-Birr and what is forbidden of Birr. When we talk about the ahkam, will be considering two principles. When it has to do with ribada, al-aslu fil ribada al-mamru aw al-tawqifu. Al-aslu fil ribada al-mamru aw al-tawqifu. One is free to use either of the two terms or words rather. Al-aslu fil ribadat. The basis in acts of worship. Anything that we call ibadah, the basis is what? Al-mamru, which means one has no right to institute any act of ibadah. Or at-tawqifu mean to stay with the text. That is what the text says is what we do in ibadah. If there is no text establishing something, you don't do it. Al-aslu fil ibadat al-mamru. And that is why a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in person of Udayf of Yaman radiyallahu anhu once said to his students, kullu ibadatin lam yata'abbadha ashab rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fala tata'abbaduha. Any act of worship that you did not find or see the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practicing, فَلَا تَعَبَّدُونَ. You should not practice it. Why? Because al-asl fi al-ibadat at-tawqif, the basis in acts of ibadah is at-tawqif. Still with the text. If there's a text that says do it, you do it. You don't have text, don't do it. And what buttresses this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, likewise the ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I watch affected your religion. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, وَيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Avoid the newly introduced matters in the deen. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَاتٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For every newly introduced matter in the deen is bid'ah. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every bid'ah is what? Misguidance. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ. Whoever happens to live long amongst you, فَصَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He will see a lot of disagreements. فَعَلَيْكُمْ سُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّشِدِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ بِبَعْدِ أَفْتُ عَلَيَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ. Stick to my sunnah. So this hadith and other ahadith, like the hadith that man amila amalan laysa alayhi amrun fahuwa raddun, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa bihi fahuwa raddun. All these ahadith, they are talking about majorly acts of ibadah, then talking about the deen generally. They are talking about acts of ibadah. So you cannot institute or introduce anything for people to worship. So all these ahadith and these verses, these are what the scholars put together to bring a qaida, which is al-asl fil ibadat at-tawqif. The basis in ibadah is at-tawqif. One has no right to introduce any act of ibadah for people. Not a type of salah, not a type of fasting, not a type of hajj, not a type of ruku. One has no right to institute or introduce anything as far as ibadah is concerned. So as we said, that these ahadith and these verses, they are talking majorly about ibadah. And generally, we are talking about the deen. When we say generally, we are talking about the deen. This is because there is another principle, which is al-aslu fi adat, aw fi ashiya. The basis in things generally is al-kibaha, aw al-shirku, permissibility. Things that people do generally, the basis is what? It is permissible. People clothe themselves, it is permissible for them to clothe themselves. It is permissible to put on this type of clothes. It is permissible to eat whatever you want to eat. It is permissible for you to walk the way you want to walk. That is the basis. Illa linas, except if there is a text in the Sharia that says, do not eat this particular food. Do not eat this way. Do not put on this particular garment. Do not put on garments like this way. Do not walk this way. So all this will be exception from the general rule. What is the evidence for this general rule? That the basis in things generally is permissibility. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created for you all that is in the surface of the surface of the earth. So for anybody to say, no, this is not permissible, this is not permissible, the person has to bring an evidence to say this thing is haram. No, you have established that ibadah haram, because you cannot introduce one form of ibadah except with this. But things other than ibadah, One cannot prohibit something other than ibadah. Anything that is other than ibadah, one cannot prohibit it except with the text. So the combination of this ibadah, the basis of which is prohibition, and the other things that are not ibadah, the basis of is of which is what? Permissibility. The combination of the two forms the deen. The combination of what? The two forms the deen. So when we say this is the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Amlahu shuraka shara'u lahum min ad-din ma lam ya'dhan bi'illah." Do they have shuraka, partners, who have legislated for them min ad-din as part of what? The deen. Ma lam ya'dhan bi'illah. Either by asking people to do a type of ibadah, the basis of which is what? Prohibition. Or prohibiting something, the basis of which is what? Permissibility. So the one who prohibits something, the basis of which is permissibility, the person is doing what? Tashri'. The person is doing tashri'. Likewise, the one who is asking people to do a kind of ibadah, the basis of which is what? Prohibition. The one who says this type of the person is also doing what? Tashri'. So amlahum shuraka, do they have shuraka? Shara'u lahum, who are legislating for them, mina deen, as part of what? The deen. Ma lam ya'dhan bi Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us. He said, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا تَسِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبِ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Do not say with your tongue that you say things that are lies. هَذَا حَرَامٌ. Don't say this is haram, وَهَذَا حَلَالٌ, and this is haram. لِتَفْتَرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. Fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. Because those who fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be successful. So that's why we have to understand this. So al-bayu, does it fall under al-ibadat? Huh? No. So bayu falls under other things. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It falls under this. Likewise, al-ankiha, our marriages, they also fall under this. They fall under this. So you can say so and so person cannot marry so and so person, except it what the text. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa mentioned those that we cannot marry. So other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to marry whom we will, apart from those that are what? That are forbidden. The same thing is applicable to food. The same thing is applicable to clothing. The same thing is applicable to housing. This is our deen. That is, if it is ibadah, the ibadah, no introduction of anything. If it is not ibadah direct, then one can do whatever one wants to do, except there is a text that says one shouldn't do that. If there is no text, the one who is trying to tell people not to do it, the person is doing fabrication against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, al-buyur falls under al-mu'amalat, the dealings with people. Al-ibadah, dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mu'amalat, dealing with people. Buyur is part of the mu'amalat. So the author says, بَابُ شُرُوطِهِ وَمَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ مِنْ. The conditions of the buyur and things that are forbidden. Now, when we read this hadith, we see some of these conditions. But scholars generally will talk about shurutu al-bay and a shurutu fil-bir. شروط البيع. These are conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Prophet has put down, that these things, they ought to be fulfilled. These are shurut. Then ashurutu fil bay, these are the conditions or the agreement reached by both parties involved in the transaction. The difference is that what that of Allah ought to be implemented. It is composed on both of them to implement it. The other one, it is between them. If they reach an agreement, it is also composing to fulfill this agreement, unless if a party says, don't worry about it. But that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the hand of any of them. Both of them have to respect this. Now, scholars, they will say one of the conditions is that what the item that one wants to sell must be something that is mubah al-manfa'. It must be something that what it is permissible. The use of it is permissible. The use of that thing is what is permissible. Anything you want to sell must be something that is permissible. Something that is not permissible, the use of it is not permissible, one cannot sell such a thing. Take for instance, intoxicant is not permissible, as we shall read. So it is haram for one to sell it. Likewise, al-khinzir, pig. The meat is not permissible. It is also haram for one to sell it. So the item that one wants to sell must be something that is mubahul manfa'a. It must be something whose use is permissible. Huh? The use of which is what? Permissible. Then if the item itself is something that is permissible, when we say this should be permissible, we mean it must be what? Permissible. There are some things that are not, that are only permissible because of need. Because of what? The need. Take for instance, maybe the manure, or let's say a dead animal, for instance, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one can still make use of the skin and tan it and make use of it, or something like that, that somebody needs that thing. Take for instance, blood. It is haram to sell blood. But somebody is in need of blood. Huh? Is that permissible? Is it permissible for somebody to buy such a thing when it is haram to sell blood? So this, they will say, it is what mubah lihajatin, for a need. Something that is mubah, that is permissible, lihajatin, for a need. Or maybe for darura, for a necessity. Can we say this is also permissible to be sold? Scholars, they have disagreement on this. But they all agree that anything that is permissible, absolutely, it is also permissible to sell it. But things that are forbidden, but there may be some need to sell, sorry, to make use of this thing, to make use of these things. If one can't find someone who gives to one, can one buy it? So give example of blood and so on and so forth. So this area scholars disagree on it. But the condition is that what it must be something that is mubah al-manfa'a. The use must be something that is permissible. If the use is not permissible, absolutely, then it's either we say this is haram to be sold, or is something that may be haram to be sold, it depends. Then the item must be something that the one who is selling it, the person is capable to sell. The one who is selling the item. Fine, the item is permissible, but the one who is selling it is not somebody who is capable of selling. So another condition is that what? The person must be capable of selling that item. The person that is, it must be somebody that is permissible for him to engage in transaction with people. Take for instance a boy of 3 years old cannot engage in transaction with people. So if he engages in transaction with people, the transaction will not be valid. Unless if the transaction are petty things like buying sweets and the likes. But major transaction, the one who is going to do it must be somebody who is jaiz with the tasarruf. It is permissible for him to. So the person must be somebody who is sane and must be somebody who has also attained maturity. Not a young person and not an insane man. So the transaction that one does with an insane person, that transaction is not coming from somebody who is jaiz with the tasarruf. Then the person must be malikan the silah. He must be the owner of that thing, or the one who is representing the owner of it. It is not permissible for one to sell something that does not belong to one. Something that you do not possess, it is haram on you to sell it, unless if the owner gives you the permission to sell on his behalf. So you become a wakil, while the person will be an asil. And there is a principle, lil wakil hukmul asil. The wakil, the agent, takes the same ruling as the owner. The agent takes the same ruling as the owner. So this must also be fulfilled. Then another condition is that that item must be something that one has the ability to deliver. That is, one can deliver the item. You may own something, but you cannot deliver that item. Take for instance, somebody wants to sell a house to somebody, but the papers of the house or things that make somebody appear to have purchased that thing is not in his possession. Or maybe he owned a portion of a house, he and his brother, they inherited a house from their father. So he has what ownership of that? He has a partly ownership of the house, not a full ownership. So he cannot deliver it, so he shouldn't sell it. Things like that. So all those conditions ought to be fulfilled. If you look at the ahadith that we are going to take, they are going to address these conditions. They are going to address these conditions. And that's why you as a Muslim, you have to learn about the rule of buyur. This is very, very important. Particularly the brothers. When I say the brothers, I mean the brothers and the sisters. What is disheartening is that when we look at the way we relate with ourselves when it comes to buying and selling. Some brothers, they practice some things that are not practiced by those who are not ascribed to understanding of the deal. And that's why I said it is very, very important that we take this, so that we will not assume that Islam is restricted to what, knowing how to pray, knowing how to do ajnu and things like that, how to do the qabdu. The Islam is not restricted to that. Your relationship with people in buying and selling is also an integral part of Islam. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, as contained in Sunan Tirmidhi, he said, لا يدخل أو لا يبيع في سوقنا إلا من قد فقه أو تفقه. Nobody has a right to sell in our market except somebody who has had the understanding of buying and selling. وَإِلَّا أَكَلَ الرِّبَى. If he doesn't have the understanding of buying and selling, he will eat riba. You know, I said earlier on that after the Kitab al-Siyam, you're supposed to take watch Kitab al-Hajj. But since most of us are not going to perform Hajj, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 people are going to perform Hajj. So now, teaching us the rulings of Hajj, there is nothing wrong in knowing the rules of Hajj. But there are things that are more important for us now than knowing the rules of what? Of Hajj. Since we are not going to perform Hajj now, the same thing will be said of transactions. Since we are what? Engaged in transaction. Whether you are wealthy or not, whether you are poor or not, you will do one transaction at least a day. Just as what you pray every day, you do what? Transaction. Business transaction you do with somebody every day. Whether to buy or you sell to somebody or you hire somebody. So why wouldn't you know the ruling of buying and selling? What are the things? We have said that the basis is what? Permissibility. But it is important that you know the areas that you shouldn't watch. You should not go. Now that since they've said what al-aslu fil ashiya or fil adat or fil mu'amalat al-ibah, then I can do anything. No. That doesn't mean you can do anything. You ought to know which areas are no-go areas. So that what? You can continue to. And the best way you can know this is to get certain things, certain rulings, certain principles which will guide you. And that's why it is very, very important. Because a lot of people today, a lot of brothers, the deceit and the duping of people that is commonplace today in the midst of the brothers is something that is pathetic and something that is alarming that we also rectify. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they invited some people to Islam through their good relationship with people with respect to buying and selling. But today, a lot of brothers, they are making people run away from Islam or from Sunnah because of their bad ways of dealing with people. So and that's why we shouldn't believe that watch. Once you know how to pray the best prayer, I've read Sifat Salat al-Nabi, I've read so and so, you now believe that what Islam is, you know, restricted to that aspect. No. The deen as a whole should be taken seriously. So the first hadith that the author brought here, and Rifa'ata bin Rafi'i bin Khadij, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'il أي الكسب أطيب؟ قال عمل الرجل بيده وكل بيه مبرور. رواه البزار وصححه الحاكم. From Rifa' ibn Rafi, from his father, Rafi ibn Khadij, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ayyul kasbi atiyab, which earning is the best? The best earning, which earning is the best? Qal, the response of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Amalul rajuli biyadi. That is the handiwork of a man. For a man to fend for himself. وَكُلُّ بَيْنْ مَبْرُورٌ. And every acceptable transaction before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أَطْيَبُ قَصْدٍ. Is the best earning that one can do. Which means the best earning is not what? Receiving of gifts. Or receiving of sadaqah. Because when you get sadaqah from somebody, that is not your handiwork. You have no struggle for that. So when somebody gives you something, you have no struggle for that. That is not the best earning. Somebody who relies on the sadaqah of people, somebody who relies on gifts from people, such a person is not getting the best earning. And that's why we also understand this area. Fine, that this doesn't mean you can't give somebody, or when they give you, you can't take. You can take. Because the person said, what tahadaw, tahabu, exchange gift, you increase what? The love between you or among you. Likewise, the Prophet encouraged us to do sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do sadaqah. But somebody who is given sadaqah or somebody who is given a gift, when he's eating or spending this, he will not have a rest of mind. Because he knows that what he's living on what? The sadaqah of people. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not accept sadaqah. He would take gift. And when he takes gift, he was what? He will reciprocate it. Because he doesn't want anybody to have what? Manu on him. For any person to have what? Manu on him, that is to say, okay, I'm the one that has done so and so, I'm the one that has done so and so. So we'll take it. But in the case of sadaqah, the person has searched the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that. So he will not take it. But the one that somebody gives to him, he will take and will give the person more than what the person has given to him. So the best earning, what you get is what you also struggle for. That's the best. There are different ways of struggling. One, trading is what is part of struggling. Somebody go and get something and will be selling it. This is struggling. This is tijar. Then you have what? A sinara. For somebody to be a carpenter, for instance, or a furniture maker, is making all these things in order to what? He's struggling. Or somebody may be a muzari, a farmer, who will be planting. Which one is the best? Farming or trading or producing of things, which one is the best? Scholars say the best will be the one that the people are in need of more or most. If you say people should be that, if you say farming is the best, everybody now goes to farming. Then people are in need of those who make things for them, you know, they can't find. So somebody who is trying to watch, to fill that area, in that aspect, it will be what? That will be the best. So that's why we can say, is farming the best or what trading is the best. We can't. They are all good. But the best is for one to do something, for one to struggle and get for oneself. And that's why some people, when you see them during the day, you see them with what? Dirty clothes, for instance. You see them with ragtag. Maybe they are mechanics or things like that. They have rubbed their bodies on the ground. But maybe after some time, you see them being the best garments. They will be happy because they know that what? They are eating from their handiwork. It was said that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he looked at a young shah, very handsome and things like that, he will admire, but when he now asks, how does he feed? If they say, okay, somebody that is what? Feeding him, maybe a brother is what? He said, but I submit. Umar of the line just lose hope in such a person. Because if a man has reached the level to also work for himself, and he can't work for himself, he's relying on somebody, then such a person is not relying on what out here cast. Because if that person stops to give in, that means he's gone. So that's why what we do with struggling in order to get our aim is something that is mubarak by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So teaching is also part of it. One is teaching somebody, is spending his energy to do that. This is also what is part of the Atiya podcast, is Amalul Yadi, and so on and so forth. So what is not part of this is somebody who is relying on what? Gift from people or sadaqah. That is his own means of it. This is not the best. We are not saying this haram, but it's not the best. وَكُلْ لُبَيْنْ مَبْرُورٍ, and every transaction, buying and selling, that is mabrur, that is acceptable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say amalul rajul biyadi, for a man to work with his hand, that is what's the best. Not every working with one's hand that is the best. Somebody may be attacking people, somebody may be smuggling people's commodity and things like that. Yes, he's working with his hand, but this is what is not amalul mabrur. Somebody may be selling what is supposed to sell 10 naira, he will deceive the buyer and he will tell the buyer 15 naira. Not that what that is the amount that he's selling it, but he has said this in order to deceive the buyer because he has observed maybe a kind of naivety, so to say, in that person, that this person is not that sharp. He doesn't know much about the prices of the commodities in the market. So let me seize this opportunity to exploit him. And he will do that. Such a person is not among those that watch, that are practicing kullu bilin mabrur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-bayyani bil-khiyar. The buyer, the seller, both of them have the option or the choice of opting out or buying, executing it. So you have to be plain to the one who is selling, who you are selling to. Likewise, the one who is also buying must also be plain. It's not that what, he will look at somebody that this person is not that intelligent. Let me spend fake currency for him. No, this is not permissible. وَكُلُّ بَيْنٍ مَبْرُورٌ, and every transaction that is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this means that not every transaction is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not every
handiwork. Not every work that one does with his hand that is watched is mabrur. Some are mabrura and some are not mabrura. Just as not every ibadah that one does is mabrur. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal hajjatu mabrura," and hajj that is watched mabrur, laysa laha jazaa' illa al-jannah. There is no reward for it other than what? Al-Jannah. Because what? The Hajj is what? Mabrur. So which means what? Somebody might perform Hajj and the Hajj will not be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This something is applicable to our buying and selling. So some people, they can go to any length in order to cheat people because they are interested in money. So a Muslim shouldn't lead that type of life. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ بِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ عَامَ الْفَتْحِ وَهُوَ بِمَكَّةَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْتَةِ وَالْخِنْزِيرِ وَالْأَصْنَامِ فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَرَأَيْتَ شُحُومَ الْمَيْتَةِ فإنه تطلى بالسفن وتظهر بالجلود ويستسبح بالناس فقال لا هو حرام ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند ذلك قاتل الله اليهود إن الله لما حرم عليهم شحومها جملوه ثم باعوه فأكلوا ثمنه متفق عليه. From Jabir, the son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "On the year of conquest, that is the conquest of Makkah. Who was in Makkah? Why was in Makkah? So what did he say? He said, 'Inna Allah wa Rasulahu.'" Certainly Allah and His Messenger harrama bay al-khamri, forbade the selling of al-khamri, intoxicant. Forbade the selling of intoxicant. When we look at this here, he said in Allah wa Rasulahu harrama. He didn't say in Allah wa Rasulahu harrama as in for two persons. He said harrama. This is because it is permissible to treat it that way. You can't separate between Allah and His Messenger when it comes towards the laws. You cannot separate them. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, which is in the some book of Sunan, he says, "Yushiku rajulu muttaki'an ala arikati." A time will come that somebody will be reclining on his cushion. Yuhaddathu bi hadithu min hadithi. He will be told my wordings. Fayaqulu baynana wa baynakum kitabullah. He will say, "Shut up. The book of Allah is enough. I don't want to hear qala Rasulullah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala, فَإِنَّ مَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِثْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ." He said, "Each, whatever the Messenger of Allah ﷺ declares as haram has the same weight as what Allah declared haram. There is no difference." You can say, since it is a hadith that brings that, you know, it can be that very hard or serious as a verse of the Quran. You can't differentiate between the two. You can't separate the two. They are the same thing. The only thing is that what this is hadith, and this is what ayah Quran here. That's the only. But when it comes to what the ruling, the implementation, they have the same status. So this is what some people do not understand. So they will say, no, we don't believe in hadith. And when you ask them to bring evidence for not believing in hadith, they will say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man kadhaba alayya muta'amidan falyatabawa maq'adahu min an-nar. So whoever lies against me deliberately should look for a place for himself in hellfire. So or somebody may say that what the Prophet said, what la tabtu anhu, do not write anything. Now the miskin has what defeated himself. You do not believe in hadith and you are using hadith to establish what your position. Bring a verse of the Quran that says what you shouldn't take a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What you have in the Quran is what? وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives to you, you take it. And whatever it forbids you, put away from it. What you have in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we should obey the Messenger of Allah. مَنْ يُتَرَ الرَّسُولُ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهُ. This is what you have in the Quran. So, but this miskin does not want to take what the Prophet said, then he can't find any evidence in the Quran to buttress his position. Rather, to go watch to the hadith of the Prophet that he says he doesn't believe in. Rather, to buttress what? His evidence, his position. So, whatever Allah declares haram, or the Prophet declares haram, they have the same ruling. So this is what the scholars have said concerning this. Inna Allah wa Rasulahu harrama bay al-khamri. Allah and His Messenger are forbidding the sale of al-khamr. We all know that the intoxicant passed through stages. The Arabs, they were fond of taking intoxicants to the extent that it's something of pride. If an Arab man in the Jahiliya particularly composed a poem, they will compose poem where they will say good things about al-khamr, about intoxicants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by telling them the evil of what khamru and the benefits. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later told them not to take intoxicants when they are about to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later forbade the consumption of intoxicants. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started pouring their intoxicants, the one that they had stored in their houses. They were pouring them to the extent that the streets of Medina were flowing of intoxicants, as if rain had just fallen. This is to tell us, you know, what these people, what they fell in terms of evil things. But what took it from them, that is what Iman. Iman led them to this. So, the Prophet of Allah sallam forbade the sale of intoxicants. Why? Because intoxicant itself is what? Is haram. Intoxicant itself is what? Is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the sale of intoxicants. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the sale of intoxicants because it is haram in itself. So that's why we talk about things that are haram, or when you're talking about transactions. The scholars are divided into two. Muharramatun li dhatiha. Things that they are haram in and of themselves, they are haram. Then we have what? Muharramatun li ghayriha. Things that are haram because of some other reasons. Not because they are haram. So we are talking about transactions. Allah may say this thing is haram because of this. Allah may declare something himself to be haram. Whether we understand the hikmah for declaring that as haram or not, take for instance, what is the hikmah of declaring pork as haram. What is the hikmah? Who can tell us the hikmah? The wisdom behind the prohibition of pork.
Because Allah wants you to be.
The hikmah. The wisdom.
Allah says haram is haram.
No, you have not told us the wisdom.
The nature of the animal itself.
Nature of the animal itself.
I mean, you know that it's very unhygienic.
Okay.
It says that you are what you eat.
Okay. Yes, if you look at it from the surface, what if it is placed in a very hygienic place? Can we eat it?
You still behave in that
way.
Well, if what people have said is right, what you have said is also right. But in a situation like this, we stick to what we have in the Quran. Allah says what? It is haram, it is haram. I understand it, the reason why it is haram, I don't understand the reason why it is haram. That doesn't matter. If it has what? Good, Allah would have what? That is, if it is good for us, Allah would have what? Forbidding it. For Allah to have forbidden it, it shows that what? It is evil for us. So this is the belief of a believer. But a kafir who wants to embrace Islam, for instance, may want to know which reason. So when we say, because the animal itself is not hygienic, is not, he may say, okay, what if it is kept in a very hygienic place, and it is well fed, it is not allowed, when they take, they wash it, they do this, can we eat it? So I will still go back to that verse. That what? Walahmu khinzir. And the meat of the pork is also haram. I will go back to that. So if one doesn't go back to that, one says, oh, it is permissible, then one has become what? A kafir. But if you look at what you are saying, reality shows that what this is the way they will behave. To the extent that some scholars or some scientists say that what the pork itself, there is no way it can be treated. It still has what some things, its meat contains some things. But when you cannot prove this to somebody, you stick to what you have in the Quran. So whether you understand the wisdom or if you don't understand the wisdom, something is certain, and that is Allah wouldn't have prohibited it if not that what it is harmful for us. So that is what is certain. We understand it or we don't understand it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger forbade the sale of intoxicant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning intoxicant, He said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah told us the reason here. He said, the khamru is what? Rijsun min amali shaitan. Innamal khamru wal maisiru wal ansabu wal azlam rijsun min amali shaitan. Fajtanibuhu, go away from it. La'allakum tuflihun. So that what? You can be successful. Innama yuridu shaitan an yuki'a baynakum al-adawat al-baghadat al-khamru wal maisir. Wa yasuddakum an dhikru an salat wal antum muntahu. So the reason is clear. But out of pork, that is not that clear. But some scholars said the reason why the pork is forbidden, or let me say the scholars said generally, is that why it is rich, it is nuts. It is what? Nuts. And anything that is nuts, it is haram for us to sell it. Obviously, it's clear. Anything that is nuts, that is impurity, that is filthy, it is haram for us to sell it. And that's why some scholars put down this corridor that kullu najisin, anything that is najis, haram bay'uhu. Selling it is what is haram. Kullu najisin, anything that is najis, haram bay'uhu. Selling it is what is haram. So the that of the pork is clear. The khamru, Allah also told us that what? That it is amr shaitan. Well, is it najis? Some scholars said it is najis. And this is what majority of scholars have said. Or some scholars said khamru is not najis. Which means that what? If intoxicant touches your body, that doesn't mean that what your garment has become impure. That you have to wash it. If you don't wash it, you can't pray with it. We said the judge of God said if it is najis, one has to wash it. Minority of God said no, it is not najis. It is haram. وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ حَرَامٍ نَجِسًا. And not everything that is haram is najis. Take for instance now, poison is what is haram. But is it najis? Is it impurity?
No.
So there is a kullu haram in najisan. Not every haram is najis. Wa kullu najis in haram. But every najis is what? Is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade intoxicant, the sale of intoxicant, not because it's najis, as majority of scholars have said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade it because He alone has the right to make law, and He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the right to legislate. So not because it is what? It is najis. Now that of the pork, we say it is najis. Huh? It is najis. But that of the intoxicant, it's not because it is najis, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it. And that's why the most correct issue on this is that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another hadith, the same thing, said, "Inna Allah idha harrama ala kawmin akla shay'in." When Allah forbids the eating of a thing on the people, harrama alayhi thamana, He has also forbidden the price of that thing. Allah says you should not eat this. That means what? You can't sell it as well. And you should not consume intoxicant. That means what? You can't sell it. So this is what is important, because it is clear from the hadith. So, one may 30, likewise, the dead animal. We say dead animal when the animal died of itself. It's not that what is slaughtered, or the animal is strangled to death, or the animal falls from a high place, or the animal is killed by another animal apart from the trench dog that is sent in order to kill an animal. So if another animal kills another animal, the animal is considered meta. So one cannot eat it. One cannot eat it, and one cannot what? Sell it. So apart from those that are exempted, the fish, that is the sea animals.
Yeah.
Huh? And
low cost
that the person exempted from the general room. So we cannot eat, and since we cannot eat, you cannot watch, you can't say where is the evidence? Inna Allah idha harrama ala shay'in ala qawmin akla shay'in harrama alayhim thamana. So maita is also haram. But can we benefit from it? And can we benefit from what? From the meta, apart from what? apart from the benefit of what? Eating, or the benefit of making money out of it. Can we use that thing for something else to benefit? Huh? What's the evidence? Aisha?
is there this that says that we can make use of, can tan the skin?
Okay, the hadith that says one can tan the skin. You know, the hadith of Maimuna, who sheep died, and people were dragging it in order to throw it away somewhere, and the person saw them and said, Allah has to be haba or the fatun be. Why can't you take the skin and not make use of it? So the companions, what did they say? Those companions who are dragging the, what did they say? They said, Inna hameita. It is what? Dead. They are telling the person the ruling that what they have learned from you. Then the person said, what? Inna yahaba. Idha dubiha faqattahu. They have the skin. If it is what tanned, it becomes what pure. That is, he was teaching them new rule that yes, it's dead, but you can still make use of this. You can still make use of this. You can make use of the skin by tanning it. Is this restricted to animals that are halal for us to eat? Like cow, like camel, like sheep, or it also covers every animal. That is, once you take the skin and you tan it, it becomes what? Pure. The position of the Hanafiya is that it covers every animal. And that's why you take what? The skin of a snake and what? Make use of it for bags and the likes. But some scholars said, no, it is only animals that are what halal for us to eat that we can make use of their skin, not animals that are haram originally. I'm just saying this so that you know that there are some exception to this general rule. Likewise, I said earlier that something may be haram to sell, but it may be permissible to sell for a reason. Like blood, for instance, it is haram to sell blood. The Prophet forbade this, to sell blood. But somebody is in need of blood, and he doesn't see somebody to donate, except somebody wants to sell it. Are we going to say, no, it is haram, you shouldn't buy it? These scholars will say it is a mubawul manfa'a, it is permissible to make use of it in haja, for a need. Then they will bring the principle, and that is why it is permissible for that person to buy, but it is haram for the one who is selling to sell. How this is clear? Someone who is in need of something, that thing is what is permissible for him to make use of that thing at that particular time or in a particular situation. The Sharia allows him to make use of it. But there is no way he can get that thing except by buying that thing. Like the example of blood that you have given, there is no way he can what? Get it except by buying it. Are we going to say, well, it is haram for him to buy it, or we say it is permissible for him to buy, but it is haram for the other person to sell? So this is the way out. Haram for the one who is selling, then permissible for the one who is giving. Because if he doesn't give, he can't get it. So the same thing will be applicable to somebody who wants a dog, for instance, in order to hunt. It is haram to sell dog. But this dog is what is allowed for us to make use of it for hunting. Can one buy it for this reason? Yes, it is permissible for one to buy it according to the stronger opinion. But it is haram for the one who is selling dog to sell it. So something that the Sharia permits you to to use in a particular situation, and there is no way you can get that from except by buying, then you buy. But the one who is selling it will be the one that is sinful. Wal-khinzir, likewise, the pig, wal-asnam, and the idols. Al-asnam is anything that people are worshipping, that has, you know, it is a matter that people are worshipping, maybe made of stick, or sorry, of wood, or made of iron, or made of bronze or copper, made of, as long as what it has a body, that people are, this is what as now. So it is also haram to sell this. Now, if the asnam is broken to pieces, maybe a sonam is made of silver, for instance, and we see the sonam that people are worshipping made of silver. If it is broken to pieces, can one buy it? Can one sell it? Yes, one can buy, one can sell. Because it is haram not lidhatihi, but it is haram lilazimihi, because of something that is attached to it. If that thing is out of it, it becomes what? Permissible. So for somebody to now put down this, say, okay, I'm selling it for those who make use of it. You know, some people are worshipping something, maybe cat, for instance. Now, a man now molds a silver in form of what? Cat. So that those who are worshipping cats can come and buy it. No, it is haram for him to sell that. But if he dismantles everything, or he melts it, and that thing becomes something else, he can sell it. So he can sell it. He can only not sell that thing because of the situation in which it is. So these are some of the things that what we should know. Faqila ya Rasulullah, it was said to the Messenger of Allah, Araita shuhum al-mayta, O Messenger of Allah, what about the fat of the dead animal? Fa'innahu tutla bi as-sufun, it is used to rub the sufun, the sheep. You know, a place that is a kind of leaking there, they will use it to rub it so that water cannot penetrate it. Watudhan bi al-jolod, likewise they also use it to rub the body. Wayastasbiru bi al-nas, and people will also make use of this fat as oil for lightning. So they wanted the Prophet Sallam to watch, to exclude this from the general rule. What was his response? Faqala Allah, he said, no, huwa haram, it is haram. It is what? Now, huwa haram, he didn't say hiya haram. Hiya haram mean what? All these things are what? Haram. That means he's just emphasizing those things, that those things are haram. But here he said what? Huwa haram. That is the selling of those things. That's not the fact that what? You use it for this reason, that doesn't mean what? You can sell it. That doesn't mean what? You can sell it. You're using it in order to do this, in order to do this, but you can still not sell it. But we said in the situation that one now the buyer now, cannot get somebody to give him this thing, can he buy? Huh? Can he buy? Because he doesn't see somebody to give, and is in need of this thing. And the use of this thing is what? It's permission. And the one who give him says, no, I'm not going to give you except if you pay. So the stronger statement of the scholars is that it is permissible. Though a lot of scholars have opinion that only he cannot buy in a situation like that. But as I've said, the stronger position is that what it is permissible. Because the use of that thing is permissible in that situation. So, and one cannot get somebody to give one except by by the Bible. It's like somebody who wants to get his right from somebody. We know Islam is against bribery. But maybe you go to a government or a startup, for instance, or a ministry or so. They are supposed to do something for you. It is your right. But there is no how. They will not do that thing unless you tip them. If you insist that you are not going to tip them, you will not get your rights. Now I say your rights. You will not get what? Your right. If it is not your right, it is bribery. But if it is your right, but they will not give you ordinary except you give them something. If you don't give them something, they will just watch. They will be hiding your file. They will be telling you all sorts of lies. Then in a situation like that, if you give them, you are what? Your excuse. They are sinful for collecting it from you. To you, it's not bribe. To them, it's what? It is bribe that they've collected. But you have not given what? Given bribe. So this are things that we should understand. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Today, some of us will have the opportunity or we want to get something from people. Before the request for that thing will be given, we'll be the one to be initiating that thing. They've not said you have to give us something. But it's okay, the person is trying, let me just compensate him, give you something. Is he not collecting salary? He's working and he's being paid for that thing. So when you are giving him, that this person is tried for what? He's been compensated for his what? For his effort. So you don't need to give him anything. And if he collects it from you, he's supposed to report to his boss. Report to the owner or the one who is in charge of that thing. So if they say he should take it, then he should take it. They say no. He should put it in the purse of the company. He should put it in the purse of the company. But in a situation that when you do not give, you are not going to get your rights. In a situation like that, you give. Then they will be the one that is as sinful. But for you to initiate it, that, you know, just to compensate the effort, this man has really tried. You don't need that. It's working. And he's being paid for that. And you are what? You are also buying. And you are paying for what you are buying. So if you are going to give at all, that means you are giving him so that he can report to the boss that what? You have what? Done something good. Not that you treat him specially from his own boss, because he's representing somebody. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa haram." Thumma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inda dhalik. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in addition to that, "Qatala Allahu al-Yahud." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance the Jews away from his mercy. May the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Jews. Inna Allah lamma harrama alayhim shuhrumaha. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they should not eat the fat of the dead animals, when Allah said what? They shouldn't eat the dead of the animals generally, that Allah forbade them from doing that. What did they do? Jamaluhu thumma ba'ruhu. They melted it. So since we have been asked not to eat it, we have not been asked to what? Not to sell it. What you have been asked is what? Is not to eat it, so we can sell it. So jamaluhu, ay adabuhu, they melted it, wa ba'ruhu, and they sold it, وَأَكَلُوا ثَمَنَا, and they ate the price. So, and this explains the other hadith, إِنَ اللَّهِ إِذَا حَرَّمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أَكْلَ شَيْءٍ. Hadith is in Sunnah Abu Dawud. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits that people should not eat a thing, حَرَّمَ عَلَىٰ ثَمَنَا, he has also prohibited that what? That they eat the price. So the Jews, they will look for tricky ways in order to do what Allah asks them not to do. You know, some of them, when Allah says you should not go fishing on Saturday, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tries them by allowing the fish to be more many on Saturday, and he asks them not to go fishing on Saturday. So these people, when they saw the fish, they will be disturbed when we are missing. So what did they do? Shaitan gave them this trick. Go and set your net on Friday. So the net will be there on Friday. Then on Saturday, the net will catch the many fish. Then on Sunday, go and collect the fish that has been caught by you. Yeah? Have you collected anything? No. Because you've not gone on Saturday to fish. But when was the fish caught? On Saturday. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns those who are really turned them into evils, as we have in Surah Al-A'raf. Because that is worse. And that's why when people say, oh, want to do Islamic banking, want to do Islamic, everything Islamic music, Islamic, everything Islamic, in order to watch, to deceive the Muslims. So you say Islamic banking, when you look at it, what they are doing there is the same thing as the conventional banking. There is no difference. The only thing is that all they want the Muslims to be patronizing them. As a brother today, I've used the word of what? The word Islamic to bring people under him for business. And it comes out of what? The transaction on Islamic. What the kuffar will not do to the Muslims, who will do it? Like somebody who was trying to tell our brothers and our sisters that, oh, come and invest your money in Islamic, whatever. They were investing in bank and the likes. So the sister was trying to convince them to come to Islamic, but the first investment that they did, they did not come up with anything. Everything just died down. And that of the bank is still what? Is still there. So they don't use that to attack them. Islamic. We have not gotten anything. This is where your Islamic has landed you. So this will be their feeling. And that's why we should not take to the way of the Jews that will be using trick in order to do something that Allah has forbidden. So what is being established here is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits, the eating, the sale is also what? Is also prohibited. The sale is also prohibited. If that thing may be used for something else and will not find alternative except to buy that thing, the stronger opinion of Allah alam is that we can buy it, but the one who is selling it has no right to sell it. Allahu alam. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta
astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You said kullu najsin haram. In the case of somebody who has a poultry, the waste from the chicken is also regarded as a najs.
And that's the question?
No. So normally pro farmers, you buy the waste. So selling such a thing will be haram.
Now, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, Rasulullah, abad. Now, the dung of animals that are eatable, their dungs are not considered as filthy. They are not najis. They are not najis. Likewise, their urine is not najis. So
it is only animals that you cannot eat. The dung is najis, the urine is najis, just like that of human being. You can't eat the meat of human being, so the urine of human being is najis. The feces of human being is also najis. So this is not najis. So one can sell it. Allahu a'lam.
I want to explain more on Muhammad's that. Like example, if I saw a son of make of gold and it's cheaper for me, if I can get it a bit more money, since I'm not into worship, can I buy it and make money from this?
Now, if it is made for that purpose, for the purpose of what? Worship, then one can buy it until it is what? It is destroyed. Then one can now buy it.
It's destroyed by
the owner who is going to sell it. Originally, they make it for the purpose of worship. So if they destroy it, then they can sell it. But if they want to sell it the way it is, so they can't sell it because it is a son. And the person has forbidden that.
You can buy it, but because you don't want them to sell, you don't want them to be worshipping that thing, you don't want to do something wrong. Can you say the person, you can initiate and say the person should destroy it? You just tell the person to destroy it, that they're going to buy it after destroying it.
No, if he destroys that, he can't buy it. If he destroys it, he buys it. Once it is destroyed, that means it has defeated purpose. Because he has made it for worship before. So now that it's okay, I need gold, but I don't want idol. So if you destroy it, it's either it defeats its purpose of doing it, then he destroys it, then that means it goes back to the origin. So then you can now sell it, one can buy it. But for one to say, okay, I want to, maybe I'll buy it because I don't want them to, that is, buy it the way it is, because I want to eradicate something like that. This is like somebody who doesn't know how to do that. Somebody narrated a story, one of the well-to-do men came to Nigeria. So, in Ibadan, they saw a man who is selling cassettes and the likes. So this man now went to that man that is selling cassettes, that how much will you sell all this thing? So his intention is that what? He want to buy this thing and destroy it. So the man said, okay, maybe this for 300,000, I can't collect. So he bought everything. So, and he said he wanted that man to leave this place because that place is very close to a college, Islamic college, and man would leave that, would buy everything. But now he has looked at what the college doesn't want them to be there, but it doesn't come to his mind, or it did not come to his mind that what he has what also what he has. Assisted his man more because how he will go to another place and watch
in
a bigger form. So this is not down. So other one, when the another man was selling, he said also learned about this. He also now went nearby the school. It was now increasing the volume of the So people are saying that you are disturbing me, he said that. So what should we? So this is
now start on that, on it again. I learned there was a man that bought a brewery, maybe somewhere in Kano or somewhere. He bought a brewery for the purpose of not making alcoholic drink from there again. In that case, can it be said?
Well, this type of thing, one has to be very, very careful. Because at times you may be buying this thing and you are only assisting them the more. But if that thing affects the plaintiff, for instance, maybe it's very close to a mosque, and you know that what they are really affecting the mosque. So in a situation like that, one may just commit lesser evil that, okay, we want to change these people away from the mosque. That would be the sole intention. But you know that what you are doing is going to bring another word, evil. Then you have to look at evil. Maybe if the man leaves that place, maybe he's also going to put the money competing to that same business, but it's also going to affect another community, maybe the Muslim community somewhere else. So this has not come up with what a good natija. And that's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, I think we have read this here, a classified changing munkar, something that is bad. Changing it, trying to alter it into form. If you are going to alter that thing, you are going to change it. And when you change it, good will replace it absolutely. Then that is what is something that is mahmud. Do it. Since when you do it, what will replace it is what is good. Completely. Then at times, maybe that when you try to change this thing, good will come, but some evil will still what? Will still be there. But the good will be more than the evil. Then do it. This is what is a place. These two scholars, they have ittifaq on this. Now the third one is that what? If you do it, the evil that is going to be removed, the good that is going to be achieved, is the same thing as what? The evil. That is, they are equal. They are equal. You say this is mahalul ishtihad. Areas where scholars, some will say, okay, let us do it since. Some will say, no, what is the benefit of doing it? When you do it, what is replacing it is what? It's the same evil. So it's like you are wasting your time. Then, the fourth one is, when you do this thing, what is going to replace it is going to be worse than what it is now. Then this is the fact that this is what is wrong. And this is what people are doing in all this demonstration that they are doing in the... Look at this, look at what is happening in Syria. Day in, day out. Today, 200 people killed. 150, 100 killed. Now, let's say if they conclude this thing now, there is certainty that after Bashar is what? Is overthrown, that Sharia will now come and take place. That one would have said what? What is going to take place is what? But there is no guarantee. Many people who will come will be worse than Bashar in terms of what? Going against the deen. Because those who are doing championing this thing, yes, we have some brothers who are bearded here, but you know the understanding of these bearded brothers. Then most of people who are shouting, they are shouting what? We want democracy, we want democracy. Is democracy Islam? And that's why there is no guarantee that what is going to replace this thing is going to be something that is better. There is no guarantee. The fact that things appear to be somehow rosy, maybe in Egypt, that is not... Because we can't really tell what... Look at what is happening now. Morsi, on getting to the throne, is now what? Trying to get loan from the IMF. Riba, where is the Sharia? The Sharia that they've been accusing, they've been attacking Mubarak for years, they've been contesting the election in order to get here. All in them that want to practice Sharia. Now, the first thing is what? To have this thing with them that want to get $4 billion loan. Huh? With what? So, and that's why we have to be very, very careful. At times, when people criticize the scholars when they are speaking, we are being myopic in some of our words criticism. We are not being realistic. And if we say what we are realistic, well, reality is that what we are not realistic in our address of things. I've just said this because of what the relationship with somebody is okay. I want to buy this beauty so that because I don't want it to be there again. If you buy it, where are they going to establish evil that is equal to that? Or are they going to forget about it and what? We have to study this critically before we plunge into it. Wallahu a'lam.
Your discretion. Now, when you talk about alcohol, consumption of alcohol, I mean, selling and buying of alcohol, what about other usage of alcohol? Maybe use alcohol as clean or something. Better, you know, not even clean, not the body, the pure alcohol, not maybe after putting another alcohol, maybe somebody has a normal say chicken balls, you look like it's got to go. On your clothes. So what's the meaning of that?
Well, I think this has been explained during the course of the lecture, and that is scholars disagree is a intoxicant. Intoxicant. Is it najis or not? Some believe it is najis, that and what it is haram to also make use of it. But minority of the scholars said, no, it is not najis, but it is haram to consume it. It is also haram to sell it. So this is what I say, well, it is najis, it is haram to consume it, it is haram to sell it. But the more correct opinion is that what? It is haram to consume it and it is haram to sell it. But using it for something else other than what? Consumption. It is not haram. But how are you going to get it? So this another issue will come in again. So whether to buy it for what you want to use it for. So you know it is not like there is no clear cut text that says it is not haram to make use of what intoxicant to make use of it at all. Unlike some other things like what the skin of a dead animal now, I hope it is clear. So we have what evidence for that. But in the case of intoxicant, is there any evidence that says we can make use of intoxicant for other use apart from what? Drinking it, there is no evidence. So scholars who have said no, it is not haram, they are going to watch the basis and ask of Ashia and Dibaha. And the fact that Allah says we should not eat it doesn't mean what? Pray for instance, they will give you an example of what? Poison. And it is haram for you to take poison. But is poison najis? So not everything that is haram is najis. Not everything that is what? That is haram, that is what? Najis. So this scholar disagree on it. So this will be based on this disagreement. Now I'm using it as perfume, the one that is being used as perfume, is it alcoholic, the alcohol, the ethanol, or the methanol, something like that. So if it is methanol, some scholars, even among those who believe that what it is najis, they do not consider that as what, because methanol you don't consume. But if it is ethanol, they believe it is najis. But scholars who believe that what it is not najis generally, they will not really mind whether it is ethanol or methanol. As long as what you are not consuming it, and one should avoid buying it. So if it is given to one, then one can make use of it. Allah.
Now, I think the question he asks is if you can use something like gin, bubble, or something like that to perhaps apply it on the skin, small pulse, chicken pulse, or something like that.
And that's what I've answered. That the one who applies that, it depends. When majority of scholars talking, they will say, well, you can't use it. You cannot make use of alcohol for anything. The intoxicant cannot be made use of for anything. But some scholars will say, well, it is what? It is haram, the consumption and the sale. But if there is a way you can get it and use it to rub the body, then there is nothing wrong with it. What you have rubbed your body with is not something that is nice. This is minority's opinion, and Allahu A'lam appears to be with them. So they will say that, for instance, the intoxicant was forged on the streets of Medina. So people were what? working on it. So are they working on what fuels? This is one of the evidences of Sheikh Muslimin Rahimahullah Ta'ala when he was addressing this. So the use of intoxicants maybe to sterilize injuries and things like that, it allows this. But how are you going to get that? Are you going to buy it? So the difference of opinion here is what will be very, it will be a kind of non-existent, so to say. Because there is no clear context that says what it is permissible to make use of it. Unlike something that we have to have clear cut text that says it is permissible to make use of it in a particular situation. So now one may say this is what permissible in Hajj. But that of intoxicants, you making use of it to rub the body and buying it, this will be somehow difficult to see. And that's why one should avoid things like that. Now, if it is also mixed with some things, can one make use of it? So this Mashaykh, Sheikh Al-Bai, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, they have the opinion that as long as we are not the one that mix it, take for instance, they say, okay, this perfume contains so and so amount of alcohol. Can I make use of it? Firstly, it's not alcohol that I'm making use of because it's a change to something else. It contains so and so amount of this, does not mean what? It is alcohol. So the condition is that a Muslim should not process it. A Muslim should not take intoxicant and start mixing it together. When this has been mixed, it has changed to something else. Can I buy it? Yes, you can buy it, according to the stronger opinion. The majority's opinion is that if it contains only 1%, as long as it is intoxicant, you can buy it. So, but the more correct opinion is that what one can buy it as long as what that change to something, even if it contains a percentage of intoxicant, as long as it has taken a new form, one by one. Okay, let us think.
Now, on the issue of the bribery and bribe, for example, I want to buy a property for somebody now, let's say a land on the house. Well, I need to make the verification of the documents of that land. So I went to the place where I'm supposed to make the verification. They have the information. But before they can give me the information, they will expect me to like give them something. So in that sense now, that information that I need, can I call that as my own right and give them something before I can get the information?
Yes, is they are also rightful to that thing. So
I'm not the one buying the property. I'm doing that.
You're an agent now.
I have an agent or something now.
You're right.
Is it my right?
Yeah, yes. Since you are entitled to it as well, just as other people are also entitled to it. But the only thing is that one should not initiate it until the request for it. When you initiate it.
It's like even the body language. The body language, you tell you that this body is expecting from the boy that happened to you. I don't know.
Hello, don't initiate it.
Now, on my way out, somebody now said I should buy a commodity for like 10 pieces without giving me money. After I purchase it, when I go to him, he just pick four. And that's what it is. And of course, he's very sorry. So later, maybe a day after, now come here, so let's do things. Now, do I have the right to sell those things at my own price now?
The phone that he collected from this, that was an error. Did he tell you the amount that you should buy?
Yes.
He said you should buy 10. And I bought 10. It's not a good act.
Yes.
Because what he has done is that what he has treated you as a wakil. So you have used your money to buy on his behalf. So what you have bought is like he has bought it. So he's supposed to give you, unless if he can prove that you are careless or negligent in the buying of. If there is no any proof of that, then he will have to pay compensation. Then the situation that you have accepted it as your loss, then that means you are taking it as your property. Then you can sell it the way you like for now.
So my second question, I go to a military place, I want to buy it like something like meat pie. Then they are this one here, they come with hot dog.
Hot dog,
just move it away. Then the person was not telling me that it's not really dog. Should I base on that name, hot dog?
The hot dog is like pork content.
It has a pork content.
See, now,
it has a pork content. There are two types. There's one that is beef, and there's one that is pork.
Okay.
So they usually specify it, unless they don't specify it, you need to ask.
Well, if one is in doubt, so if you know you are in doubt, you can't really leave it until you are sure. If one doesn't eat that, then one will not
die. Because like I think I could get to Dubai now and then say I want something, you call it lizard soup plate or something like that, and I ask them, is it made of lizard? I say, no, it doesn't have it to do with that, it's just made you shape it inside the plate. So that stops me from eating that particular.
If you are not, you are in doubt. But if you are not in doubt, you can eat.
The name now.
No. Al-Asma Allah Tughayyiru Al-Ahqaa Kishin. The name given to something does not change the reality or the nature of that thing.
Yeah. Huh? But is it applicable to the shop right now? We sell some stuff, it's called this one pork, and it's called this one meat. And we are not sure where the iteration of the stuff of the stuff itself.
This happened to me. So when I saw pork and I saw this beef that looks like suya, so I had bought this one, then I saw the pork and I became disturbed. Said, sorry, is it the same oil that they used to fry it that they used to? He said, no. That you fry this with different oil. That they can't fry it. We can't fry this with the oil that we use in frying pork, that it will tear. So this is what she told me. So whether she was lying or not, I can't really tell. But when you are in doubt of a thing, it's better you leave it. When you are in doubt of a thing, so you leave it, instead of what trying to put yourself in. If you don't eat, nobody will. Nothing will happen.
Can you tell us the media opinion between that one of using snake skin and tiger skin and the rest of the skin? You were saying that some scholars say this, but you don't tell us the media opinion.
Wallahi, I don't know the media opinion, because what the hadith says is that when the skin is tanned, it is pure. So it's also a general statement. So when the skin, is it the skin of the eatable animals or the skin of animals that are forbidden? So and that's why some scholars took it this way, some scholars took it this way. So the one that you are convinced or your mind rests assured of, then one should stick to that.
The second is, I want to ask about bringing children from the respect to that habit that says it feels like them when it's negative. Because the time for preparation for Maghrib is usually when the sun is setting. So can you actually bring children to the Maghrib around that time and start
on it? It is good that maybe if one it's not by the time you observe Maghrib, the time you walk home.
Yes.
It's just a very brief period between the sunset, very close to the sunset. and what the son says. So if one is with them, maybe in a car or something like that, for Allahu A'lam, that will not be. But for one to leave them playing around in the community, so this will not be okay for Allahu A'lam.
It happens in a way which I think will happen to the one that works on the site. It is known that some of these majorities in Nigeria don't be their workers, but the intention of when you get to sites, by going to this. Now, this particular leader, I think, will fill you with that. But on site, you show that when he gets to sites, you can get something for example.
They are paying her.
He's owing her 3 months salary.
Now, okay?
Definitely she demanded this salary, but now she demanded her 3 months salary.
What's the question?
The question is, can she collect her children?
So it depends. If she likes, she collects it and gives it to the boss, which means the boss is still owing her. And if she likes, she takes it and what? And deducts it from salary. So, which means that if the salary is given to her, she will return. So whichever one she likes. So part of the love of coming to Shalom, I love you.
First up is
Uma post automatically.
Automatically, you want to save us in China.
I'm going to go to the house.